views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call. Take the leap with Rudy Racine as you listen to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series. This show targets anyone looking to advance their careers and further develop their leadership skills. Rudy Racine is a certified coach, entrepreneur, motivational speaker, and the founder and CEO of Higher Learners. In this show, Rudy will introduce listeners to professionals and executives in a variety of industries while discussing the challenges that tend to stand in the way of career growth and advancement. Learn how to craft your personal definition of success with the right mix of focus and motivation. Higher Learners is putting minds to work.
What's up, everyone? This is Rudy Racine, and you're listening to the Higher Learners podcast on Transformation Talk Radio. Each first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific, we discuss topics to help you sharpen your professional skills to get to the next level in your career. For the next hour, we'll be talking about professional development and entrepreneurial thinking and leadership. To help us explore this topic, I've invited a special guest to join us here today. We have a Dr. Imad Rahim. Dr. Rahim is an administrator and founder of the Project Management Center of Excellence at Bellevue University, and he serves as the Family Endowed Chair and Associate Professor at the College of Science and Technology. He's also the author of Resilience, From the Killing Fields to Boardroom, and The Four Shuns, Your Guide to Developing Successful Job Search Strategies. Lastly, he's a contributor to Forbes, CEO Magazine, Tweak Your Biz, and Intelligent HQ. Dr. Rahim, thank you so much for joining our show today.
Hey, I am honored to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me.
My pleasure, my pleasure. All right, so we have a lot to unwrap today. We're going to talk about a lot of leadership topics, specifically professional development and entrepreneurial thinking in leadership. So what I often ask all of the guests when they join my show, I want to know how you define leadership. I think leadership is a subjective topic, so we want to get every guest's definition of leadership before we kind of dig deeper. So tell me, how do you define leadership, Dr. Rahim?
I think leadership is more of an attitude or a feeling, right? But most of all, you need followers. So I think it's very difficult to be a leader without followers. But you have to be a successful and effective leader, right? There are a lot of successful leaders that are successful in business, but they may not be effective in regards to what they need to do to satisfy and improve and sustain their business and their people around them. So I think it's all those things. I think a leader is someone that understands their people, truly supports their followers, and lead them to a better place, that leads their organization to a better place. You know, so I think a leader is someone that truly understands who they are, the environment they're in, and their purpose.
Awesome, awesome. So you said a leader is someone that understands their people, leads them to a better place, helps them to grow, essentially. So now your leadership skills have, you know, evolved throughout the years, and your story is fascinating. So in reading your book, From Killing Fields, or Resilience, From Killing Fields to the Boardroom, you know, you talk a little bit about where you've come from, and, you know, you're a refugee survivor of the Cambodian killing fields. You lived in some of the roughest parts of Brooklyn. You're now a multi-credentialed academic executive that's highly sought after. Tell us a little bit about your story and how you've come to where you are today.
Oh, man. So, you know, I came to this country as a little kid. I probably was, you know, maybe four. And we, after surviving the genocide of Cambodia, living as a refugee in a refugee camp in Thailand, we ended up in Brooklyn. And we ended up in Brooklyn in probably one of the roughest neighborhoods at Sunset Park in the 80s, during the height of the crack epidemic, you know, gang violence. It looks like a Spike Lee movie, right? And that's the environment I grew up in. You know, I grew up on welfare. I grew up in Section 8 housing. And I had a strong mother, a mother that took care of four kids, pushed through it, didn't know the language very well. And, you know, often worked three jobs, I was a latchkey, a kid. But it's through my experience seeing her and seeing how she held herself, seeing how determined she was, and having great mentors around me that saw something in me that had pushed me, that propelled me to be the person I am today. You know, so I went from someone that struggled in high school. I mean, really struggled all throughout public school, even in community college, and was diagnosed with dyslexia in community college, to eventually earning my doctorate, attending postdoctoral programs at Tulane University, Harvard, and University of Maryland, to being the youngest dean at a university, and now holding several deans and department chairs positions. So, yeah, so it's been like a roller coaster that goes up and down, up and down. But when I followed a plan, when I was strategic in regards to what I wanted to do and kind of laid the roadmap and followed that direction, you know, without being pessimistic, you know, like just really focusing on it. And when times got hard, I just held it down and kept at it, you know, being resilient. Everything worked out. Everything worked out.
Excellent. Excellent. So your career has evolved, and you talked about, you know, being a dean and how you had mentors that kind of helped guide your path. Talk to me about when it clicked for you, when you really figured out what you wanted to do with your professional career.
You know, I think when it came to something clicking, it for a lot of people, and including myself, is by accident, right? I was kind of unsure what I wanted to do, where I wanted to go. And being an online student, I happened to be at the cusp of this academic interruption, right? Or disruption, right? So this academic disruption was happening, and I saw it growing, and I saw it, you know, thriving, and I saw traditional universities struggling to go online. So when I graduated, I already had 5 to 6 years of experience in it. You know, I knew the technology, I knew the curriculum, I knew marketing, I knew enrollment, I knew all these things from both a student perspective, alumni perspective, a board perspective. So when I got involved as a faculty, I probably knew more than a lot of those people that were considered thought leaders, right? People that wrote about it, studied it, but never really experienced it. So that's how I really got involved. And then I fell in love with it. And I went from being a professor, from being an entrepreneur in this area in regards to helping universities develop online curriculums. I went from being a student taking online classes because I was an adult student, I was a non-traditional student, to being someone that was sought after to develop content, to take traditional brick and mortar programs online. And it's through those experiences developing curriculum for universities around the country that led me to become a dean at a university eventually.
Excellent, excellent. So now you mentioned becoming a thought leader. For those listening, talk to us about what is a thought leader?
So a thought leader is someone who's an expert at something, right? And it's not me saying that I'm an expert. It's often people tell me that I'm an expert. And a lot of it comes from writing. It's come from writing, presenting, discussing on that topic, that people come to know you for that topic. You know, so if you truly believe that you are an expert at something, then it should come from your thought leadership. It should come from your idea sharing, and those people that understand your ideas, that they find interest in your ideas, that they find value in ideas, that they continue to share it and grow it, and then you as a person that specializes in this field are sought after for that idea. You know, so when I think of marketing or creativity, right? I think of Seth Godin, right? When I think of even regards to marketing from a business perspective, I think of Michael Porter. When I think of leadership, right? I think of people like Jack Welch. I think of people like Obama, right? So these are people that are thought leaders in that specialization, in that field.
I love it. So now talk to me about why do you feel like being a thought leader is important to career development?
Well, in order to grow your brand, right? So let's talk about your brand first, right? That we we all need to recognize what our brand is. You know, what do we want people to know about ourselves? How do we want to promote ourselves? How do we want people to see, you know, who we are? And that should go back to your brand, right? That's the field that you work in, or the field that you desire to work in. The years and years of school that you specialize in, the certifications that you have, they should all tie to this brand that says, this is what I do. This is what makes me an expert, right? And in order to do that, you have to grow your thought leadership awareness. And the great thing about this is that you don't need a marketing team anymore, right? You know, a few years ago, even 5-6 years ago, in order to be a true thought leader, you needed this marketing team. You needed this marketing campaign to push yourself out there so you can be cited, so you can be interviewed on television, so Wikipedia can pick you up, you know, and be on a New York Times bestseller. That's the only way that where someone can say you are a thought leader in this, where someone can validate that you are who you say you are. But times have changed, and now you can control that language. You can control that message, and you could do that by way of social media. You could do that by way of blogging. You could reach out to these podcasts, you know, shows and YouTube shows and things like that, and introduce yourself and pitch this idea of who you are. And if they find that your story and who you are is interesting, that they can help promote you and propel your career. All right, so this way, when people are looking for someone to do a keynote, when they're looking for a consultant that specializes in an area, or a recruiter is looking for this leader to take care of this company, your name comes up, and it comes up natural because it's everywhere.
Love it. I love it. So now I would consider you to be a thought leader in like leadership and project management. How did you leader in those areas or even any other areas?
I think the first thing was trying to find what am I passionate about. And, you know, even in high school, I was an entrepreneur. I remember, you know, being a local A&R, just promoting local DJs and local rappers and R&B artists, even in high school, promoting who they are, their music by way of mixtapes, by way of radio play and things like that. And then I eventually started a business where I booked these artists for gigs and shows and parties and things like that. And then also I started developing mixtapes and creating mixtapes, and I started designing mixtape covers for people. So I always had that entrepreneur spirit. And then when I got into college and I was working full time and going to school full time and I had a young family, I have always had this side business, right? So I always had a side hustle. So that entrepreneurship mentality was always in me. I was always looking for something else in addition to what I was doing. I was always looking which also required me to read. It required me to read as much entrepreneurship books that I can get my hands on, attend
so
workshops.
I'm gonna cut you off real quick. Sorry to interrupt. Yep. We want to take a quick break, but I want to come back and talk more about how you developed your entrepreneurial spirit and become a thought leader. So we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back with Dr. Imad Rahim, we'll continue talking about professional development and entrepreneurial thinking in leadership. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
If you're dealing with fear and anxiety, you've probably noticed that the more you fight these emotions, the stronger they seem to get. Dr. Friedemann Schaub, the author of The Fear and Anxiety Solution, explains that instead of suppressing, we need to identify and resolve the deeper, subconscious root causes of fear and anxiety. His personal breakthrough program has helped thousands worldwide to overcome their emotional challenges. To learn more, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com and schedule your free consultation with Dr. Schaub now.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Be you plus live your purpose equals joy. That's the motto of Unstuck Joy with Vicki Todd. Vicki believes you were born with gifts that are meant to make the world brighter. Each show will feature an art visioning journal prompt to help you create your way to soul clarity. If you're ready to get unstuck and create more joy, this show is for you.
Tune in the first and third Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. For more information, visit VickiWorldArt.com.
We are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine, where every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time and 12 p.m. Pacific, we discuss topics to help you sharpen your skills to get you to the next level in your career. Today, we have Dr. Imad Rahim here. He is the administrator and founder of the Project Management Center of Excellence at Bellevue University. And he is talking to us about professional development and entrepreneurial thinking and leadership. So when we went to break, he was telling us about a little bit about how he discovered his entrepreneurial passion and becoming a thought leader in entrepreneurial leadership. So, Dr. Rahim, you talked about, you know, selling mixtapes, selling tickets, making mixtapes. Talk to us a little bit about how you developed that entrepreneurial spirit and mindset.
I just realized my students are probably going to think it's pretty funny knowing that I used to sell mixtapes and I was a former DJ. So that's, you know, it's pretty funny. Yes, you know, so that mentality, that way of thinking was always in me, right? I always wanted that side hustle. I always felt empowered to have a side gig. So even when I was working for somebody, I have always worked for myself, right? And with that, since I wanted to grow this love of entrepreneurship, I wanted to grow this business, I've always continued professional development. I always sought after the next great entrepreneurship book. I attended workshops. I attended training. I went to networking events and things like that. And I pursued most of my academic experiences by way of entrepreneurship in regards to courses in entrepreneurship, certifications in entrepreneurship, things like that. Because I truly believe that in order to be a thought leader, in order to be a specialist at something, you need to know it from many perspectives. You need to know it from every layer, you know, from every level of that specialization, you know, of that business mindset, right? So that's what I always do and continue to do.
Great. So now I feel like with my audience and just with young, with millennials, young professionals, oftentimes we are defined as ambitious but aimless, right? So we want to be that entrepreneur. We want to be successful, but we have no idea where to start. And you talked a little bit about your students. So talk to us about when you were figuring out, you know, and kind of exploring being an entrepreneur. What books or what people had the biggest influence on you to help you find your way?
Well, you know, I loved reading things that for my generation, you know, even though Jack Welch was not considered an entrepreneur, he was an intrapreneur, you know, in the sense that he was this executive, you know, CEO of General Electric. So in a leadership, you know, level, he was the guy, right? The guy of the 90s, 80s, 90s. And even early 2000s, but he was an intrapreneur in the sense that he looked for opportunities to grow GE, to grow General Electric. So he did things that no one else thought about, right? He developed new products. He developed new research, you know, things that could take him to the next level. He developed new business ventures under General Electric, right? So he invested in new businesses, in new startups, in new technology. So from an entrepreneurial perspective, so someone that works for a company but thinks very entrepreneurial, he was an entrepreneur. And I use a lot of what I read about him, what I know about him. I even eventually came to work for him to inspire me, to push me. So in regards to millennials, you have to find that person that you admire, you know, and a lot of my students will say people like Mark Zuckerberg, right? Or they even will point out Jay-Z, even though Jay-Z is older, right? You know, so they would point that person out and say, listen, this is the person I admire, right? I never thought about this person as an entrepreneur, but this person started their own business. This person always thought in a way of wanting to control their own brand, control their music, control their technology, and they grew this empire, right? And while those are great examples and they provide a great, you know, a blueprint, you have to lay out the blueprint that's relevant to you, that makes sense to you. So you have to look at your passion, right? You have to figure out, well, what am I most interested in? What, you know, what do I desire to do? What does that environment look like? Am I in an office or am I at home working remote? Am I traveling or I'm, you know, local, right? And what type of companies am I working with? Is it nonprofits? Is it, you know, Fortune 500 companies? Is it government? Because this kind of lays this image that allows you to provide this blueprint and gives you better direction in where you want to go and how you're going to get there, right? You know, a lot of the students that I work with, they talk about apps, for example, right? They're like, I want to build this app. I have this idea for this great app. I have this amazing game, right? And that's the hot thing to do. But you're really talking from an inventor perspective, right? You're trying to invent something. It's not, while the product may eventually become, you know, the next, hopefully, right, the next Facebook, the next, you know, WhatsApp, whatever, and it becomes a business. But oftentimes, young people mix entrepreneurship with inventions, right? Being an inventor, being a programmer, a designer, is totally different than an entrepreneur.
I love that you made that point. And I love that you brought up how Jack Welch, you know, working within GE, still maintained an entrepreneurial mindset. So you referred to him as an entrepreneur. Now you serve as, you know, you're an entrepreneur and you are an educator. So which are you? Which would you say you are, an entrepreneur or an educator?
You know, there's this word that I forgot who coined it, but they call it an edupreneur. So it's an educator with the entrepreneur mindset, you know. So for example, think of the professor that writes textbooks, right? So they have a side business. They get royalties from their textbooks. They get speaking engagements from their textbook, but they are a full-time professor. They are an edupreneur, right? Think of the person that like myself, I'm an educator, but I get hired to develop content for other universities. Right, so a university will hire me to develop an online MBA, for example, or they would hire me to write curriculum that is more relevant to their student population. Right, so that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I have this entrepreneurial mindset where I have this side business. You know, I was a management consultant for many years, co-founded Global i365. Human Service Association of Central New York, Muslim Letterpress, and now Inclusive 360. So I've always had this side business, right? But my passion, my love is in education, and a lot of the education is tied to entrepreneurship, teaching students business skills, entrepreneurship skills, you know, operational skills, those type of things.
I love it. So it sounds like you referenced Jay-Z earlier, and I know that there's a Jay-Z line. He says, I'm not a businessman, I'm a businessman. And it sounds like you are your own managing your business, and essentially your business is you.
Exactly. And that's where I think a lot of young people need to see themselves, right? Think of the person that is making millions on YouTube, right? Think of those socialites that get paid $10,000 just to show up at a nightclub, right? They are the business, right? They don't sell product, right? They're not designers. Their image, you know, their name is the business. So that exists now. There are people making six figures, if not more, just because of who they are, of the following that they have developed. You know, you have Instagram models that have never modeled for a traditional magazine, right? But they have a strong following on Instagram. So now you have a lot of, you know, companies that want product placement, and they get paid to wear certain clothing, to have certain products in the background and so forth. But they don't work for any for themselves. They are the business.
I love it. So now, for those that are listening that want to develop that entrepreneurial mindset, I think one of the things that comes up for a lot of young professionals and just a lot of people in general is fear, right? The fear of failure, the fear of rejection, the fear of ridicule or embarrassment. Talk to us about how you were able to kind of control or overcome some of those fears when you were developing your entrepreneurial skills.
It is very different. This is that, you know, 20 years ago, so let's say 20 years ago, maybe 10, okay? 10 years ago, much of the fear had to do with what? Money, right? You are worried that your investment will go down the drain, that you're going to spend all of this money investing in this business idea, in this new venture, getting loans, getting investors, and it's going to crash, right? You're going to leave this stable job for this, you know, for this business idea, for this new startup, and everything is going downhill. You're starting from scratch. And that was the common fear, right? But now you have a lot of young entrepreneurs that are bootstrapping their business, which means that they are taking the few hundred dollars they have and a lot of sweat equity that comes from their friends and family and people in their network, their classmates, and they're developing multi-million dollar businesses off of this idea with the support that came from their network, right? You have people that are doing Kickstarters and Indiegogo campaigns that are, you know, getting $30,000 to $40,000 of investment from strangers just because their ideas were great. So I think the fear that was then, you know, in regards to 10 years ago, it's very different than now. Now I think most of the fear has to do with just the idea of failure, you know, in regards to how people are going to perceive me because of social media, because your information is out there. You know, it's different if you fail and only a handful of people in your neighborhood and your network knows about it. But now, because we are always promoting ourselves, we're always promoting our business, we're promoting on, you know, our lifestyle, that when we do something wrong, it's like everyone knows about it, right? So you're always in the spotlight. So I think much of the failure now has to do with that, is that you are in the spotlight, right? You can't just close the door. You just can't hide in your room anymore, right? So if you fail, you feel like everybody's going to know that you have this spotlight on you, that you become this reality star, right? But
yeah, I like to say that failure is information, and overcoming that failure is sometimes an opportunity to learn from your mistakes. But before we can delve deeper into this failure conversation, but we're going to take a quick break. And for the listeners out here, we're talking to Dr. Emad Rahim, author of Resilience, From the Killing Field to the Boardroom. When we come back, we'll continue to talk professional development on entrepreneurial thinking and leadership. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Introducing the Lucid Planet, a digital gathering place featuring cutting-edge, high-vibrational content that will empower and inspire you to become the greatest version of yourself. Visit the Lucid Planet today to stimulate your mind, body, and soul as you connect with a global community of like-minded people. The Lucid Planet is edited by renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly Neff, who is here to help you cope with anxiety, connect to your higher purpose, uncover your true passions, and live your dreams. Dr. Kelly's fresh, compassionate perspective emphasizes growth, transformation, healing, and thriving, even in the face of adversity. Say goodbye to bad news and low vibrational media for good and become part of the larger collective of people working together to navigate the global shift of consciousness and transform the world from within. Join the planet, the Lucid Planet. Visit thelucidplanet.com. Welcome home.
Please join us for a transformational conference with five, that's right, five of the leading pioneers in the fields of science and spirituality, all in one place. Join best-selling authors and teachers Greg Braden, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Lynn McTaggart, Dr. Joe Dispenza, and Lee Carroll in both individual workshops as well as a weekend of keynote presentations and panel discussions. At this extraordinary event, you'll get to experience some of the brightest leaders of our world today, empowering you with groundbreaking new information, deep wisdom, and practical tools to transform your life. Come connect with others and expand your consciousness in beautiful Nanaimo on Vancouver Island in British Columbia, June 14th through 19th. For more information or to register for what some are expecting to be one of the best conferences of 2018, visit shalohaproductions.com. That's shalohaproductions.com. Or visit the individual speakers' websites.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
The truth is funny. Shift Happens with Colette Marie Steffen is excited to welcome Karen Benton as a monthly guest host. Tune in on the third Wednesday of each month at 8 a.m. Pacific time to regain confidence and trust in your capacity to create change in your life, your health, your family, and your well-being. Karen Benton is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. For more information about Karen, visit KarenBenton.com.
Are you stuck in unhealthy habits, toxic relationships, or low self-esteem? Do you crave a life of inspiration, love, self-acceptance, and fun? Sounds like you're on the verge. On the verge to your next big thing. Join Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio, helping you use your breakdown for a breakthrough, overcome life's greatest challenges, and live the life you want and deserve. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio or visit SeattleHealingHypnosis.com for more information.
We are back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Racine, where every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern and 12 p.m. Pacific, we discuss topics that help you sharpen your skills and get you to the next level in your career. Today, we're talking professional development and entrepreneurial thinking and leadership with Dr. Imad Rahim, author of Resilience from Killing Fields to the Boardroom. So before we went to break, we were talking about failure and how so many people, you know, they oftentimes want to become leaders. They want to be entrepreneurs. They want to start their own business, and they are afraid of failing. And Dr. Rahim, you were giving some advice on basically overcoming that fear and just trying. So for you today, how often would you say fear shows up when you start a new venture?
Well, it shows its ugly head a lot. Right. But if I don't try something, right, I would never know. Right. I would never know if successful. So, the idea of fear because of failure, you don't know if you're going to fail. Right. So really, there's nothing to fear until it happens. And then when it comes to failure, you know, you have to just hit it head on. Right. You can't let it eat you. You can't let it destroy you. I mean, it's easier said than done. To fear when it comes to failure. Time will heal all wounds, I always say, right? I had my share of failure where I lost money, even lost friends, right? But it provides great reflection, right? It provides a lot of great lessons learned. And I use improve what I do, to improve the business that I'm working on, to improve my relationship. So see, you know, one of my favorite movies is A Bronx Tale, right? And there was a scene in The Bronx Tale with Clay Collodio, I think that's his name. He was, you know, he kept on pursuing this guy that owed him money, right? This guy that owed him money, I think it was like $20, and he was always, you know, running after this guy, chasing this guy. And then finally Sonny was like, how much does that guy owe you? He's like, $20. He's like, but $20, you learn something. You learn not to trust that guy. You know, you're lucky you didn't lose, you know, $100 or $1,000, right? So take that opportunity. Mm. It was cheap. It was a cheap opportunity for you to learn something great about that person, about that experience. So when it comes to failure, take it as like an opportunity to learn from something, to learn from that mistake and grow. Every great leader has failed. Every great leader has written a book about failure, right? So you are not the only one, right? There's no such thing as a perfect leader that has never failed. So you're in good company, baby.
I love it. I love it. I love it. And I know a lot of my friends, sometimes I hear them say, take that L, right? So that L could be a loss, but it also could be a lesson. So take that lesson. It's all about how you look at it, the outlook that you have on that failure or that you know, that lesson. So now, yeah, in your book, Dr. Ryan. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, you know, think of the Warriors in Cleveland, right? They're like winning, failing, right? So yeah. They take that L and they learn from it.
Exactly. Exactly. And you, every game is an opportunity to get better. Every loss or lesson is an opportunity to improve.
Exactly.
So now, in your book, you reference a concept called salt, right? I want you to explain what salt is to our listeners. So when faced with adversity within the professional fields or facing it with adversity within an entrepreneurial venture, where does salt show up and what is salt?
Yes. So reflecting on my experience and reflecting on a lot of people's experience, I think everyone goes through this salt way of thinking, right? So salt is viewed in two different perspectives, right? Salt by itself, you know, think of when someone feels salty, right? They feel salty towards a person or salty towards an experience. But also remember, salt is a preservative, right? It's life, right? Without refrigerators, people use salt for life. So it was like something that you hated, but something that you needed. Acronym stands for surviving, right? Adapting, love, and transformation. So when I reflected back on my own success and my own experience, I realized that I went through this survival stage first, that I was trying to just survive. And I think a lot of us are in that mode still, right? We go through life just trying to survive, just trying to pay the next bill, just trying to make sure that the rent is being paid. Like, we live check to check. That's survival mode. In order to transform yourself to something great, you have to move beyond that survival mode. In order to do that, you have to have a plan, right? So in order to move from surviving and then going upwards, we have to first adapt to our surroundings. We just can't be surviving, right? We have to adapt. We have to look at our environment and say, what do I need to do in order to adapt to this environment better? Because if I'm adapting, then my life is more stable and then I can work on the next step. I can work on the next stage. So once I recognize that I'm in survival mode, I create a plan that will help me to adapt. Once I am adapting and everything is more stabilized, I always tell people, in order to be successful, you need to surround yourself with good people, people that love you, support you, push you, that will drive you to success. And that's where you move to love, right? That's where you have to look at your life and the people around you and making sure that you are around love, right? Because people that love you will push you, will support you, will make sure that you are on solid ground, right? Because if you have people pushing you, you're going to be more successful. You're more likely not to fail, right? And then you're also helping others, right? You're also showing that love to other people. And once you are truly adapting to your environment, and once you are truly surrounded with people that love you, that support you, right, that listen to you, that are there for you, then you can move on to transformation. And this is where you lay out the blueprint that will propel your career, right, that will help you find the passion, the desire that you are thriving for. So, but you have to figure that out. You have to figure out what is that thing that will help transform your life into something great. And sometimes people, it could be, it's not necessarily a career. So I'm not saying a career. I'm saying, what is the environment that you need to be in to be successful, right? So for some people, when they are now adapting and they surround themselves with people that love them, they're saying, I need to get educated. So they're saying, I need to go to college in order for me to be in a better position, in order for me to get that career. So their transformation is higher education. Some people say it's a trade. You know, I need to get that certification. I need to get that license, right? So it's any of those things. But you have to put a plan together. You have to lay a blueprint and get people to support that blueprint, get feedback, get ideas, and then commit yourself to that blueprint. And with any plan, you have to be agile, because plans are not perfect. You have to be nimble. You have to be able to change and adapt again based on your surroundings and your situation. You can't go back to survival mode, right? You have to always move forward.
Not where would you say, but where did this come from? So Salt, talk to me about like when you came up with this concept, what was going on and how did you come up with the idea of Salt?
Well, it's interesting because I'm from Syracuse, New York, right? Syracuse is known as a salt city because we had salt mines, right? And I used to be in this play called Tales from the Salt City. So I have this like, you know, salt image that's always there. But as I reflect back on my life, you know, I mentioned that I'm a survivor of a genocide. So I've always been in survival mode, from the killing fields of Cambodia to the streets of Brooklyn to upstate New York to Chicago. I was in survival mode, right? And I, like I said, I think millions of people are always in survival mode. And then as I was thinking about my success, you know, about why am I here today, I reflect on those people that I was surrounded by, right? My mentors, my wife, my kids, my family, my friends, you know, that I really kept a tight circle of people around me that pushed me, that looked out for me. And I also looked out for them, right? And it was that environment that helped me transform to the person I am today, right? That people, when I had fear in regards to, I can't do that, I'm unsure if I should do that, there was always someone pushing me saying, you could do that. You know, you're more than capable of doing that, right? When I was unsure about the plan that I was putting together, you know, in regards to this plan may fail, there was always somebody saying, listen, you follow that plan, I will follow that plan with you, right? So when I reflect back, it's pretty simple, you know, in regards to how the SALT model came to creation, you know, but it ties back to being committed to the plan, right? Any plan needs commitment, needs execution, right? And needs further investment in order to be successful.
So we got 2 minutes before we go to break, but I want to ask you this question. It might need to go into the next segment. But so you talked about survival, adapting, you know, so survive, adapt, love, transform. And I feel like a lot of listeners are in that survival mode, right? They are trying to keep their head above water. They're not really sure what they want to do. And you also talked about the importance of planning, right? I like to say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So for the listeners that are stuck in survival mode, trying to get to, you know, past survival mode, how do you recommend getting past survival mode to embracing the possibility of adapting?
Well, I think it's like anything, right? You have to figure out what is wrong with your situation. You know, that there's something that is corrupting your life. There's something that's causing you to be stuck. And sometimes it's simple. You know, it could be a person, right? It could be a place. It could be a job or a lack of a job, right? So, but if you identify that, you can work towards that, right? And it sounds simple, but it's so true for so many people. Right. So if you identify what that problem is that's causing this for you to always be on survival mode, right, then you're more than likely to be successful in adapting.
Gotcha. So identifying the problem. Excellent answer.
Exactly. And it's not, like I said, it sounds simple, but it's true. I mean, it's so true for millions of people.
It's taking the time. So, all right, I want to talk a little bit more about this, but we're going to take a quick break. Once again, we are here with Dr. Imad Rahim. We're talking about professional development and entrepreneurial thinking and leadership. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
winning at the game of money. Lynn Brown is now offering Full Spectrum Finance, a progressive 12-month program that will help you to navigate through the mechanics of financial expansion. Finally, a financial planner who looks at the full spectrum of money and abundance. Engage you in the mental, physical, and energetic aspects of finance. This is Full Spectrum Finance. Are you ready to get into it? For more information, go to fullspectrumfinance.com.
Tune in to the Psychic Professor's Show, The Voices of Spirit Radio, with international medium and spirit artist Dr. Susan Barnes on Transformation Talk Radio. Featuring a variety of spiritual topics such as psychic art, spiritualism, EVP, psychic development, and mediumship. This hit call-in show provides listeners with breakthrough wisdom to enliven and enlighten their lives. Visit spiritartgallery.net.
Tune in each Friday, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to Synergenetic Living Radio, where Rick and Grace Paris discuss the synergenetic way of life, what it means to truly change your perspective in life, what it means to take control of your life and manifest your true desires. For more information on Rick and Grace Paris and Synergenetic Living, check out synergeneticliving.com. Get clear on the life you desire and the current life you are creating and what is between the two. Synergenetic Living, living life loud.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
So we're back on the Higher Learners Podcast with Rudy Ray with Dr. Imad Rahim. We're talking about professional development and entrepreneurial thinking and leadership. Dr. Rahim's been dropping some major jewels on the listeners. So if you haven't heard the entire episode, I strongly recommend starting back up at the beginning, paying close attention because he's given some really good stuff. We touched on some of the things from his book. His book is called Resilience from Killing Fields to Boardroom. And we'll talk about where you can find that in a few. But Dr. Rahim, you know, before we went to break, you were talking about survival, and I talked about, you know, so many of our listeners might be stuck in that, you know, survival mode and trying to keep their head above water. And you've achieved a great deal of success. You've kind of come a long way, and you're killing it right now. So for those listeners that don't feel like they can reach that level, what's something that you would say to them?
Well, you know, like I said, I came to this country as a refugee, right? I struggled in public school with learning disability. I was a special ed kid. You know, I was put in the resource room, right? And I was diagnosed with dyslexia in community college. You know, I was a kid who spent 4 years at community college. So every type of failure you can think of, I hit that brick wall, right? And eventually went from someone that hated school to going to Harvard, to going to Tulane University. I went from a person that couldn't read and write, that struggled with reading and writing all my life, to writing for Forbes, to publishing over 50 academic articles, right? From someone that has always been ignored, you know, I was ignored for most of my life. I was this invisible person where no one even thought about, you know, hearing my expertise, right, that I didn't have any ideas to share, to someone that is being paid to share the ideas. Right? So if I can do it, you could do it. I'm a perfect example of someone that, you know, that had nothing, that had very little support, right, to becoming someone that people admire, that people look up to. Right. So if I can do it, you could do it. But like I said, it's a very simple process in regards to the steps you need to take, but it needs commitment. There needs to be full commitment. You know, like any successful person will tell you they are the person they are today because they were committed to that idea. They were committed to that direction. They were committed to that plan, and they were very resilient to that experience. You know, when things basically went the wrong way, when life kind of, you know, gave them the wrong turn, you know, they were agile, right? They were resilient and they were able to bounce back. They didn't give up, right? So being able to be committed to this plan, to this idea is very important, right? And a lot of that comes back to your ability to be resilient.
Got it. So now, Dr. Raheem, for those listeners that hear what you said, and you know, you talked about going to Harvard, going to Tulane, professional development, you know, some of our listeners might think that professional development is expensive. They don't have the money for all that, right? What would you say to those listeners?
Oh, man, you know what? A library is free, right? And if you can't, you don't have time to read, you know, people say, I don't have time to read, you know, then that's an issue. You should always find time to develop yourself, right? So now you have blogs, you can read, you know, a simple blog and learn something and apply it, right? You can listen to a podcast, you know, you can download books on tape. I mean, I download books left and right. So every time I'm on a flight, I finish a book. By the time that flight takes off to the time that flight ends, I finished an entire book, right? So there's no excuse right now, right? We spend money and time on music, on jewelry, all these things. Find time to spend some money in yourself, you know, on improving your life and who you are, right? If you want to truly change your situation, you have to invest time and money on yourself. Grow your mind, grow your skills, right? Grow your network. That's the only way you could change your situation. You have to pretty much change who you are. In a good way, right? In a good way.
I love that you said that specifically because our last episode was the 5 keys to personal and professional growth. And the first key was feed your mind. And the third key was build your network. So hearing you say that just made me, you know, just made me really excited because I'm not the only one kind of lecturing and saying that. It's coming from different listeners or different guests. So thank you for saying that. So Where would you say you get the majority of your, you talked about the library, you talked about podcasts. What's one podcast that you would recommend to a listener that's trying to feed their mind?
Oh, so it's interesting. I am a huge NPR fan. So I love stories. So I love listening to like Snap Judgment. I love Moth Radio, right? But in regards to like, the business, you know, side of it, you know, the Harvard Review have a short free podcast that you could download. Seth Godin has tons of podcast shows that he does. John Maxwell is also a good guy to listen to in regards to his podcasts and shows.
Got it. Awesome. And so, you know, find a mentor is one of those keys as well. And for those listeners out there that may not have a mentor, you know, Dr. Raheem just mentioned, you know, John Maxwell, Seth Godin, those are individuals that have plenty of material out there on YouTube, on podcasts that you can use to feed your mind and use as mentors. So I appreciate you bringing that up. So now, Dr. Raheem, you know, we don't have much time left. I want you to I want to give you an opportunity to maybe leave our listeners with one or two words of wisdom that you think might help them to grow in their professional development.
Okay. So first off is don't be an opportunist, you know, in regards to how you approach someone, how you seek someone's advice. You know, look for opportunities to help someone else. If people see that you're always looking to help other people, they're more likely to help you, right? So if you go into a networking event and you try to find someone with a certain title, with a certain background, people will see through that, right? And that's the quickest way to ruin a relationship, to ruin a career, right? Second is always show empathy, right? Empathy is a truly powerful tool that often very few people use or know how to use, right? When people see that you are vulnerable, when people see that you are open and honest, they have a stronger connection with you, right? If you are listening to someone's story and you are truly engaged and aware of that story, then people have an emotional connection to you and you have an emotional connection to them. And that creates this strong, empowered situation, right? And a lot of my opportunities, you know, have developed because of empathy, that people listen to my my story, they listen to my writings, and they find a true connection. They are emotionally connected to who I am, to what I present and what I say, right? And that's, you know, just really short things that you can do to improve your situation and to grow your network and to grow yourself professionally.
Awesome. So you mentioned do more for others. Don't be an opportunist and be empathetic. I love it. Those are some of the keys to professional development and success that we touched on our last episode. So it's great to hear you talk about that as well. So now, Dr. Raheem, how does someone get a hold of you? Where can they find more about you, Dr. Raheem?
You can visit my website, www.emadrahim.com. You could follow me on Twitter, at Dr. Dr. Emad Raheem, or Instagram, Dr. Emad Raheem, or you can find me on LinkedIn. Just look up Emad Raheem. I believe I'm like the second person, but the first person you see, right? And you can also find me on Facebook, but it's under the Forgotten Genocide. So within Facebook, search out Forgotten Genocide, put my name, Emad Raheem, and it will show up also.
Excellent. Excellent. And, you know, we talked a lot about your book on this episode. The book's title is called Resilience from Killing Field to Boardroom. Where can they find your book?
So they can find it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, A Book a Million. Just if you search Emad Raheem Resilience, it shows up.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Dr. Raheem, I want to say thank you again for joining us for this hour to talk about professional development and entrepreneurial thinking and leadership. You dropped some serious jewels on our listeners, and there's a lot of great information that you shared. I really encourage the listeners to pick up his book. Go on Amazon.com. I'm reading it now, and it's a really good one. And, you know, Dr. Raheem, I look forward to hopefully having you on again in the future, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Hey, it was my pleasure. Thank you so much, and I appreciate the opportunity.
It's my pleasure, my friend. All right, so everyone, you know, this is Rudy Racine signing off with the Higher Learners Podcast. Don't forget that we are on every first and third Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 p.m. Pacific. And with that, I bid you adieu. Later. Peace.
You've been listening to the Higher Learners Career and Leadership Series, defining success and putting minds to work with Rudy Racine. Rudy will help you craft your personal definition of success, offering support and guidance as you move forward towards your goals. Take the leap. With the right mix of focus and motivation, anything can be achieved. To learn more, tune in every first and third Monday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. To download this podcast and for more information on Rudy Racine and Higher Learners, visit Rudy's site at higherlearners.com. That's H-I-R-E learners.com.